Radio.
A homily by Archbishop Julian Porteous, recorded at St. Mary's Cathedral, Hobart, in October 2013.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, in 1997, Blessed John Paul II wrote an encyclical entitled Evangelium Vitae. It translates as the Gospel of Life. I think this phrase is rather interesting, the Gospel of Life, because the word gospel means good news. We speak about announcing the gospel message, which we see as good news for all peoples. So Blessed John Paul II was proposing by this phrase that the church wishes to announce good news of life. In his mind was what he recognized at the time as a great struggle that was taking place in contemporary society. It was a struggle between what he describes as a culture of death and a culture of life. And he wants to say very clearly that the Christian message is a proclamation of life. At the heart of a gospel of life is that simple and yet profound realization that life is a gift. None of us willed to live. We were given life. It's a precious gift. And this gift has further significance when we consider that each of us, in being given the gift of life, was given an immortal soul. We will live forever. We came into existence at one moment in time, but we will possess life for eternity. Human life is sacred because possessing this immortal soul, we come into a unique relationship with God. As we know, the book of Genesis describes us as being created in the image and likeness of God. God is spirit. That image and likeness is the fact that we possess a spiritual life, a spiritual dimension to our human existence. It was the creative action of God that brought us into existence, and our life remains within a vital relationship with God. And God wants us, each of us, to possess a life in union with Him forever in heaven. Our life is not our own. It is a gift and a promise. And this understanding really has shaped Catholic thought about any direct intervention to destroy life. We recognize that every human being has a unique dignity and a destiny. And our understanding of the nature of human life leads us to do all that we can to protect and preserve it from the moment of conception until its natural end. In this encyclical, Blessed John Paul says that we are facing, he says, an enormous and dramatic clash between good and evil, between life and death, between a culture of death and a culture of life. And then he goes on to say that we, as Catholics, have what he describes as the inescapable responsibility of choosing to be unconditionally pro-life. He says that the culture of death has developed because there has been a sense that the human person has a dignity and value only if that person is wanted, able to care for him or herself, and able to be completely autonomous. Hence, he says that the unborn or the dying, because they are not autonomous and are unable to care for themselves, come to be considered to not have the same rights and dignity as others. He also comments that the culture of death has grown alongside a loss of a sense of God. He says if there is no sense of God, then there is no sense of eternal life. The human person can so easily be caught up in a life of despair or hopelessness about any future beyond this life. He quotes the Second Vatican Council, which said, without the Creator, the creature would disappear. But when God is forgotten, the creature grows unintelligible. Without God, how can we make sense of ourselves? He goes on and talks about the fact that life itself becomes a mere thing, which a man claims as his exclusive property, completely subject to his own control and manipulation. If God is taken out of the equation, then life becomes something which human beings feel that they can manipulate themselves. He goes on and says that this view of man and this loss of a sense of God ends up leading to this practical materialism, which breeds, he says, an individualism, utilitarianism, and hedonism. So these are the issues that we face, and these are the mentalities that are about, that do cause people to propose issues like euthanasia. But it's our understanding of what shapes our response, that we recognise that any legislation for the taking of life, even if a person wishes to do so, is inherently wrong. It seems incongruous, really, here in Tasmania, that as there is an effort to stem the growing number of suicides among the young, because Tasmania, sadly, has one of the highest suicide rates in the country, that there are members of government now who are introducing legislation to permit old people to choose suicide. And I've been very gratified to see the number of voices that have been raised in the local media condemning this proposed legislation. Arguments that people should not have to suffer unnecessarily are really shown to lack any substance these days. Today, pain is able to be managed, and advances in palliative care can ensure that a person is well looked after in the dying process. I believe the grave danger associated with this legislation is that it creates the mentality that some people's lives are no longer useful. Old people can feel a pressure, if you like, to move on. They can be made to feel that they are a burden, are costing too much money and taking up beds in hospitals. Each person has an essential dignity and worth. And there's a profound human mystery connected with the process of dying. It's not just the shutting down of bodily organs, but it is a deeply human and deeply spiritual journey. Dying is a process of surrender, a surrender into the hands of God, the God of life. A person can allow God to take control in this process. We allow life to take its natural path, and we, at that spiritual level, surrender ourselves into the hands of God. I think Jesus' words on the cross, as he was about to die, give us a witness to the way in which all Christians can die. He said simply, "Into your hands I commend my spirit." There is a profoundly human dimension to the process of dying. God has given us life. We are grateful for this wonderful, precious gift of life. And for each one of us, there will be a dying process. But in that dying process, each of us can wait upon God. He will call us at the appropriate time. But our dying process It's a profound human experience. And when it's characterized by deep faith, it is a beautiful experience of letting go and surrendering into the hands of God, who loves us so profoundly and desires us to be united with him forever. In the gospel story today, there's that beautiful image of the Lord talking about being servants. And the servant waits upon the master. So we too wait upon the master. If we do this, all will be well. All will be well.
radio.org.au